Do you sense a theme this morning? Is it weird to sing Christmas songs in March? It's a little different. Over Lent, instead of doing our normal Lenten passages, what we are going to do is we are going to hear about Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection. So we're going to start from the beginning with Jesus' birth. And we're doing this because it's important for us to understand something about God. I don't know how many of you, have any of you read the Hebrew scriptures of the Old Testament and been confused about some things? The Bible is very confusing. This is true. It's not always very clear. But particularly in the Hebrew scriptures, there's this sense that God is with them sometimes, very closely, but then God is far away. And sometimes they do things that we're like, was that the right thing to do? Do you think that that's what God wanted them to do? And sometimes you're like, I don't know, that doesn't feel like the God I know in the New Testament. That doesn't feel like Jesus. And part of the reason that God sent his son was so that we could know God. So the way we know God the best and the clearest is through the person of Jesus Christ, God's only Son. So the way for us to know about God is to learn about Jesus. And so what we're going to do throughout Lent is we're going to learn characteristics of God and who God is, but we're going to talk about Jesus. So today, we're going to start with Jesus' birth. But what Jesus' birth is going to tell us is that God is on the side of the marginalized. And so when we finally get to Easter, we will have had this full and clear picture of Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Savior, from birth to resurrection. And hopefully we will all be drawn closer to God through that knowledge. So I want to read to you today a scripture from Luke. Luke 2, 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. And he went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things, these words, and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There is nothing about this story that is not purposeful. Jesus is born into this earth with a purpose. And all the little bits of the story, all the details, are already at the very beginning telling us something about God. And so here we have Mary and Joseph, who have their very first child in a place that many of us would not want to even sleep in for a night, much less bring a child into this world. What does that say about God? That God knows what it's like to be with folks who don't have a place. People whose homes may not look like ours. People who are on the outsides and the outskirts of things. One of the first things that Mary does after she has her baby is she lays him in a manger. And I want to show you. So this picture right now is a picture that is on the wall at the Church of the Nativity, which is in Bethlehem. But I want to show you another picture of a manger. Does that look like the manger we usually have? Doesn't, does it? These are mangers that are found in Megiddo, which is an old, sort of like a battlefield, but there's all these structures still around. And these are the mangers or the feeding troughs for the horses. And there are several that are just in very good condition. But they're not comfy, are they? They're stone and probably cold and hard. And this is telling us something about God. That God knows what it's like not to be comfortable. That Jesus was willing to come onto this earth, God's only son, and the first place he was to lay his head was in a stone feeding trough. God is not afraid to be with us in the hard and difficult places of our lives, and particularly of the lives of those whom all of life seems difficult. Because they are on the outside. Now, God came and was born into a manger, but humans have a tendency to do something. And so I want to show you the next picture. So this is in the Church of the Nativity, and this is the birthplace of Jesus Christ. What have humans done to the birthplace of Jesus Christ? That's marble, folks. Gold, silver, pretty lanterns. What do we tend to do with things that are difficult and hard?
Make them beautiful.
Make them beautiful. Dress them up. Fancy them, right? Because sometimes we don't like to talk about the hard and difficult things. Anybody else have that experience? Where it's like, no, let's just make it look better. And so this is what Christians have done over the centuries to a place that was a cave, basically, where there was a stone feeding trough. Now we have marble and gold and silver because we don't like to think about the hard stuff. And we glorify Jesus sometimes in a way by using words like king and lord that make it seem like he might have had a different kind of life than the life he really had. We like to distance ourselves from the difficult and the poor and the marginalized. This is what we have done for centuries as Christians. And so this spot that you pilgrimage to looks nothing like what you expect in your head. But there's one favorite thing about this spot. Is in that little hole, you see the little hole? There's actually stone underneath that hole. They just covered up the stone. And if you put your, you can put your hand in there, and when you touch it, there is an indention from all the millions of people who have rubbed that stone. For all the people who saw all the trappings and dressing, but deep in their hearts needed to know that God was with them in the hard places. That we can't dress everything up. That sometimes there is just difficulty and sadness. And sometimes we are pushed to the margins and feel like we are outsiders. And that piece of stone is that reminder. It was that reminder to me that this is just trappings. But Jesus was more simple than all of this. The next very important part of the story is that the first people who are called to visit Jesus are the shepherds. So I have a picture of the shepherd's field. This is what the topography around Bethlehem looks like. It's hilly. It has some grass, but lots of rocks. And this is the place where shepherds would spend day and night. They would spend day and night in these places with their sheep outside. And God made a choice. God made a choice on the night that Jesus was born. Who do I go and tell? Who do I send my messengers, my angels to? God could have chosen anyone, right? Anyone could have been chosen. But instead, God literally chose the people who were outside of town, right? That's what marginalized means. Those who are on the margins, on the outside of things. And God chose the shepherds. God chose the shepherds to be the ones who were there in that special and holy moment. We've sort of dressed up shepherds, too, in a way, and made them sort of romanticized. The next picture is in Bethlehem, and it's a grotto or a cave. If you are in Israel, you will see caves all around the sides of the roads and in the rocks. And what have they done to this cave? They've made it into a space of worship. They've sort of left it cave-like, but folks have made it into a space of worship. Still trying to dress it up a little bit. Distance ourselves from the dirt and the grime of a shepherd and who a shepherd might be. If people were paying close attention on that first night, they would have known a lot about Jesus just right there and then. A lot about who he was going to be and to become. Because throughout Jesus' life, he continues to be the one who seeks those people who are on the margins. He is the one that touches lepers, the ones who had been cast out of society and were not allowed to touch anyone. Jesus is the one who goes to Zacchaeus, the tax collector, who no one liked, and said, "Let's go to your house for dinner." Jesus is the one who constantly is getting criticized for eating with sinners. Why are you going to be with those people? Why? Because God is on the side of the marginalized. God is on the side of the marginalized. We may have all kinds of different ideas about who is marginalized today. But I want you to think, and I've said this before, who are the people that you use the term those for? Those people. Because those people are probably the ones who God is with. As Jesus begins his life in a manger with shepherds by his side, may we be reminded that God is on the sides of those on the margins. And for us to pay very close attention to those people who are on the margins, because it is in them that we may see God most clearly and most closely. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for who Jesus is and for that of his birth, which tells us about you and who you are. May you open our eyes to see clearly those who are on the margins as your son Jesus Christ did. May we never forget, Lord, that if we are at the center, we might be far from you. It is in your name that we pray. Amen.